You're listening to the Counterculture Mom Show. Our kids are under fire every day with the media and pop culture persuading them to give up their faith and Christian values. Stay tuned now as former Hollywood actress and pop culture expert Tina Griffin helps you counter these messages and safely navigate today's pop culture chaos.
What can we do to prepare these kids for entering their sexual development? When we're letting kids go on social media and the internet, and they're being exposed to pornography at earlier and earlier ages. I spoke to a doctor who saw kids who perpetrated sexual abuse, and he didn't ask them if they were watching pornography. He asked them when they started watching pornography, because it absolutely plays a role in the behaviors of children. Children emulate what they see and what other people do. The more sexual influences that are pushed on children, the worse off we all are. There is no benefit to normalizing sexual behaviors and promoting sexual behaviors with children.
Adrian Simeone is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse who fell down the proverbial rabbit hole, discovering the prevalence of child sexual abuse, and became committed to using her marketing skills to change the way people think, speak, and respond to this taboo topic. She founded the Mama Bear Effect, a nonprofit organization collaborating with experts and advocates around the globe to improve access to prevention education for families. She is also a mom of four, gaining experience every day personally, navigating the challenges parents and children face. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm your host, Tina Griffin. Pedophilia is the much-needed topic of the week. I'm with Adrian Simeone, founder and director of the Mama Bear Effect. Adrian, how you doing today?
So good, Tina. Thanks for having me and being open to talking about this topic.
Absolutely. I should be saying the same thing to you. I can ask the questions, but man, you have this story to tell. And a lot of people that I've met over the years don't share it because they're embarrassed. They're like, how many people can relate to what I have to say? And yet you have been on the front as an advocate around this globe, fighting, exposing, sharing, and seeing people healed as a result. So thank you for being raw and real on this program today. It is a much needed topic, and God is using the horrific past that you have survived to help many people be free today. Let's dig in deep. Very, very critical topic. Why is parental education so essential to preventing child sexual abuse?
So, I mean, the main thing that a lot of families should know is that the vast majority of people perpetrating sexual abuse is someone that they know and trust. Oftentimes it's someone within their family, or it's within their, you know, circle of social acquaintances, someone that they trust with their kids. So in most cases, the parent may have already known this person before they even had kids, or it's someone that they have come to trust, or simply because of the position this person has in their life. It could be a teacher or a coach. This person could be in a position of authority over their child. So ultimately, you know, I view parents as the primary protectors of kids. We care more than anybody else ever will about the safety of our kids. And when we realize how little institutions like public school systems and sports programs, how little they're actually doing to prioritize the safety of kids, the more we realize we have to take responsibility for keeping our kids safe. We also know statistically around 80% of all childhood sexual abuse is estimated to occur within a home of the child to the perpetrator. So if this child is in someone's home, it's often their home or the home of someone that they trust. So we have to be vigilant and aware that this is something that's affecting an estimated 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys. It's astonishing how many children are affected and how little awareness there has been for this issue, despite all of the research showing that this is a prevalent and persistent issue that's actually getting worse. Historically, they had estimated like 30 to 40% of sexual abuse was being perpetrated by children. Now research is showing that might be 50 to 75%.
So you're basically saying, if I hear you correctly, adults are abusing children, sexual abuse, and then those children are then abusing other children.
To a certain extent, what we found in the research is the younger the child is when they are perpetrating sexual abuse, the more likely that they experienced it. They're acting out. But as there's actually, when you look at juvenile perpetrated sexual abuse, there's a big spike at puberty. which really isn't surprising because obviously kids are coming into their own maturity, sexual awakening. And what they've found is there are certain key factors that increase the likelihood of a child perpetrating sexual abuse. A poor relationship with their parents. They don't have a strong, you know, level of communication with their parents. They don't feel emotionally connected to a caregiver. They're not educated on this issue. And they also are more likely to be exposed to pornography. So when you kind of have that perfect storm of a child lacking support about what they're going through, having positive role models promoting what appropriate behaviors look like, and then also shielding kids from sexual content, which, as you know, a lot of this is now coming through school systems, which for us as an organization is horrifying, because we've been trying to push for kids to simply be taught about respect and boundaries.
Yes.
And now we have organizations that are not only not doing that, they're actually sharing content with them that then actually encourages this kind of behavior. So parents definitely need to be on board.
Oh my gosh, there's like 57 things I want to say to what you just said. Very thorough. And as you explained one lane, you could branch off 17 different other ways. For example, you said education. And yes, right now it's horrific what's going on during COVID when kids were then ordered to do schooling at home. Parents started blowing up our social media, emailing us, and it got all over the news of who would report it. That parents were starting to realize just how pornographic and sex saturated literally classes were online that were taking place. And there was even schools warning that if parents even get involved or see what their kids are learning online in their home, that those kids could be possibly expelled. It was just insane, or get an F for the class if the parents would find out what they're looking at. But I will tell you, 20, 30 years ago, we had sexual, graphic, disgusting content in school books. Planned Parenthood was pushing their envelope inside the schools. Kids were shown how to put a condom on a banana in their sex education classes when I was a kid. It's been going on for 2 to 3 decades that I know about. Seriously, condom races where kids would line up in their fifth and sixth grade class to see which team could put a condom on a banana the fastest. The only verse that ever comes back when I hear this right away, when you're talking about 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys that are currently being sexually molested in America today, which is horrific, besides me wanting to choke the person that literally is hurting these kids, and me just thinking about the ramifications of what the kid has to live through, is the verse where the Lord says, it's better for you to put a millstone, tie a millstone around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to those that hurt the innocent children. Woe to those. A wild, interesting segue. You have been sexually abused in your childhood. That's why you're such an advocate. When we come back from this commercial break, I would love to have you share the hell you went through, but then also the blessing through what happened to you that today you're now saving millions of lives around this globe. More with Adrienne right after this.
James 5:16 reminds us to confess our sins to one another and pray for each other so we may be healed. It's not enough to admit the church body has a hidden porn problem. Church leaders need the tools to help people find freedom. The Healing Church book by Covenant Eyes cuts through the confusion. Here's what to expect from this phenomenal read. Learn why sex isn't the real problem regarding pornography. Discern how porn undermines ministry in the local church. Understand how porn affects men and women differently and how to help them. The church has a choice. It can ignore the porn problem, or it can lead people by grace to the foot of the cross, where strongholds are crushed and strong servants arise. Get your free copy of the Healing Church book in the mail today. Scan the QR code on the screen or text the word VICTORY to the number 66866. This book is a must-read for ministry leaders, parents, and counselors. Text VICTORY to the number 66866. Together with our friends at Covenant Eyes, we can help the church conquer pornography once and for all.
Can we trust what's written in the book of Genesis? How could a flood cover the entire earth? And where do dinosaurs fit in the Bible? Find the answers to these questions and more at the ICR Discovery Center in Dallas. Bring family and friends to experience the wonders of creation through our exhibit hall and stunning planetarium shows. Experience the origins of our universe. Step aboard Noah's Ark, chill in our Ice Age theater, meet the founders of science, encounter animatronic animals, and so much more. Our scientists' work is on display in the current research exhibit, and our biology research laboratory showcases our experiments. And don't forget to shop the Discovery Store for t-shirts, books, gifts, and more. Discover how science confirms the Bible today.
Bring your family and friends to the ICR Discovery Center in Dallas. To plan your visit, go to icr.org/Tina. That's icr.org/TINA.
Adrian, you have lived through a very horrific childhood. Can you give us a glimpse and take us back there, if you don't mind, on the raw and realness of it? How old were you? What happened? How often? Who was it? Are they in prison today? Did they get help? Are they now a believer? Fill us in on what happened.
Yeah, so I mean, it started when I was pretty young, and I don't really have a recollection completely as to what time period it started. I know it definitely was probably maybe first grade through somewhere around third grade, and it was a juvenile. It was someone that was connected, you know, to my family, and I just didn't really know that it was wrong. And I think it was a very confusing time for me, because, and this is one of those things that's really hard for people to discuss. And it actually, doing the work of Mama Bear has given me healing through this, and understanding that sometimes when a child is sexually abused, and there's so many different ways that children experience this. Sometimes they experience physical pleasure. And so when their body feels that way, there's this confusion of, this feels good, but I don't think this is right. And so there's a huge amount of shame that comes with that, because there's this mix of emotion of, this feels good, but I don't think this is supposed to be happening. So that really, impacted me for pretty much until into my years of Mama Bear, being like, oh my gosh, that wasn't my fault. I'm not a bad person. This wasn't something that I had control over. So that is a really important, you know, thing for me. But yeah, it was someone that was connected to my family. It was another juvenile. And what I found out actually about 5 years ago was that this child was also sexually abused.
I was just going to ask you that. And how old were they? Were they in high school?
No, they were, when they were sexually abused, they were elementary aged, and they were like middle school aged when I was experiencing sexual. So again, they were going through puberty. They had already had this previous experience of sexual, you know, abuse themselves. They actually came out and apologized to me. They had so much shame about what they had done. They did not continue those behaviors. It was discovered accidentally. Someone walked in on it happening, and it was, you know, I feel very fortunate that happened, because I don't think any amount of education would have made me tell anybody.
You know, you might think, oh, nothing's going on behind the closed door, but are there red flags of an abuser? And also, are there red flags that someone might be a victim or currently being sexually molested? What are your thoughts on that?
So I think a lot of times people who perpetrate sexual abuse, they compartmentalize that behavior. What they do behind that closed door, that's one person, and then they see themselves as the other person. So they can be very good at separating the two. You might see more red flags if someone is trying to gain trust, or they're trying to isolate a child. I've had, you know, parents talk to me. It was the father-in-law. And he said, oh, you spend too much time with your child. You don't need to spend this much time with them. Let them spend the night at our house. You know, so there's things that you'll see, a lot of love bombing. If it's a single parent, they'll get love bombed by this potential romantic interest who wants to come off as the new father figure for their family, or they just want to, you know, gain attention of the child. So anyone who has interest in a specific child, more so that like seems normal, that's when I think those red flags can go off. And it might not even be just for that parent, but the other adults in their life whom that person might not see that that's happening to them. Because a lot of times perpetrators will groom the adults first.
Gain the trust, like a coach, a teacher, like what you were saying. I could talk to you for 3 hours. Is body safety education for kids the same as sex education? If it's not, can you explain quickly some of the body safety tips that we can give our kids?
I feel like this is such a uncomfortable juxtaposition nowadays, because people are mixing the two. And because of what's happening in sex education, it's becoming, body safety is becoming vilified because they're trying to loop us in. I'm like, hey, we're not part of your party.
It sounds like it'd almost be the opposite, because sex education is disgusting, and they're advocating and telling kids, you're not going to wait anyway. Go ahead and wear a condom and take birth control pills. But body safety education is saying, if anyone comes near you, call a cop.
Exactly. I mean, what I say to people is, I can teach a child of any age body safety without even using that three-letter word, sex. Your body, your entire body is special, and it's private. Private has two meanings. One, that's something you don't share with other people. And two, that is your personal property. So just teaching kids specifically about privacy. When are times that people should have privacy? In the bathroom, when they're taking a shower. If someone's sleeping at night, that's a time where you should have privacy. Someone shouldn't be coming into your bedroom. One of the big things that I run into, especially with school systems, is kids are not used to being into these bathrooms with stalls and multiple kids going in there. So much inappropriate behavior, not necessarily abusive, but inappropriate, occurs in bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And the schools know about it, but they really are not proactive. And that's a big thing. If kids are interacting with other kids in these kinds of settings, they need to be reinforced. What is privacy? What is respect? What is consent? Who should you tell if someone is not behaving appropriately? That's kind of the big word that I use, is appropriate versus inappropriate.
Absolutely. Gosh, I just, at this point, it's like every person that works in the school system should be hooked up to a lie detector test. Ask them a series of questions. I don't care if I do it. You're like, just like, you know, if I could clone myself, I would have like 20 questions I would ask these people before they get hired by a school system. And if the children's safety is not number one priority, you don't deserve to be working in a school. Period. The parents are entrusting their children on school property. And I know the rules around that. The second a kid puts a foot on a public school property, they are the property of the government. That's how our laws currently are. That's horrific. That's alarming. But the parents are entrusting the teachers to take care of their children. And then a lot of times when bombs erupt, you see it in the media, the parent tries hard to fight for the getting what's right and following through and making sure the person at the school, whatever went wrong, gets apprehended, gets thrown in prison. There's something that somebody has sued as a result. And usually the parent loses a case. It's crazy. Yeah. And the children are left thinking, why speak up? No one's going to help us anyway. It's a horrible situation. However, you have phenomenal resources people need to know about, because you are seeing people wake up, shake America, get the help they need, and the bad guys are being thrown behind bars. At least I'd hope so. I didn't hear you share that story yet, but it is happening because people are aware. Plus, if a person hears other people that are apprehended for the wrong actions, they tend to think twice before continuing to do it themselves. And then once again, they need to be getting help, because a lot of times, like you said, they were also abused when they were young. It's crazy. Can you give us in a 1-2 punch here quick? I got three more questions, critical questions to ask you, and we've got to drive them to your book. What is the most important factor in helping a child heal from sexual abuse?
The parent-child relationship is the most important piece to helping a child heal from sexual abuse. And it's something that's going to impact them differently at different stages of their life. How a child feels about it at age 6 or 7 is not going to be how they feel about it as a teenager or even as a young adult. And I think for us as adults, there are also triggers that we need to be prepared for. I mean, for me, being a parent and having children and being, you know, given the responsibility of keeping them safe, that was really what woke me up to being like, this is not okay. This wasn't just something that happened to me. This happened to lots of kids. And one point I want to just circle back to, too, when it comes to adult perpetrators, if someone perpetrates sexual abuse in their adult life against children, and this wasn't something that they started in their youth, a lot of times there's actually emotional issues going on with that person. It's adults who struggle with depression, self-esteem. They have narcissistic tendencies. They're all about power and manipulation.
Yes.
A lot of those people may have experienced sexual abuse. I've seen studies that shown there's actually a higher correlation to emotional abuse than actually sexual abuse. So mental health for oneself, you know, and also just morality, having faith and understanding that we are here to be God's people and to share love with people. You can't do that and be abusive. So let's not kid ourselves. If you're a faithful person, you need to live your faith. God knows exactly what you're doing with your life. There's no hiding that. So I think the more that people come into that, the more we would be able to keep kids safe. But the sooner the kids disclose, the sooner we can start their healing, the more likely we are to get those people behind bars, because most people don't disclose sexual abuse until they're adults.
And you said something critical right there. If a person waits too long, it's 10, 20 years later, besides the perpetrator that didn't get apprehended, didn't get thrown behind bars or face the penalties of that, the horrificness of us not speaking up if something is currently happening to us, this is going straight to you, God speaking through us to you right now, if you're currently being abused, you must speak up. Because that person that's hurting you, if we don't speak up, we'll be hurting many other children after you. And if you know how you're feeling, can you even think about not stopping that person from hurting other kids? That should be the number one reason why we do speak up and say something. We have to. We have to. And know that God's going to take care of you. He's going to heal your heart. Your identity is not what happened to you in your past, what happened to you last night, 5 years ago, or a decade ago. That is not your identity. It's what Satan is trying to tell you, so you remain silent. So kick Satan to the curb and speak up loudly and boldly. Literally, what you just said is exactly the same moment of when God put this in my brain. I was like, what? Yes. It's that God sees everything that we do. You just said it. It went in my brain. I completely agree. Nothing is hidden from God. You are phenomenal. We're going to do a second quick commercial break. Adrian, I want to know how to get our hands on your book and more right after this.
Have you ever wanted to start a charity or ministry? Launching a nonprofit can be time-consuming, expensive, and overwhelming. If you have a vision and mission, but don't know where to start or how to raise donations, Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution. Their ministry charity project allows you to receive tax-free donations without the expense and hassle of forming your own 501c3, and in less than 48 hours. This ministry partnership fund is exactly how Counterculture Ministries got its start, and we grew quickly. Capstone Legacy Foundation handles all your legal and accounting paperwork, allowing you time to develop the ministry and message God gave you. Call Capstone today at 610-688-8890 or check out capstonelegacy.org for more information and tell them Tina sent you. Partner with Capstone Legacy Foundation to transform our culture for Christ and get your nonprofit started today.
Have you been feeling a little off lately? Many of us have. The crazy thing is, you're not sick. You're being poisoned. GMOs, glyphosates, heavy metals, microplastics, nanobots, and graphene oxide in vaccines. These toxins are everywhere. But there is a solution that detoxifies and goes after the root of the problem with all natural ingredients that work at the nano and cellular levels. It's called Masterpiece. This organic formula has two natural ingredients, zeolite and sea plasma, both powerfully structured together. The clinical studies are unmatched, and they've got thousands of testimonials with incredible stories. One user said, "Phenomenal product. I've only been taking it for a week and my energy levels are through the roof." To get Masterpiece, just go to masterpiecebyhcs.com. That's Master P-E-A-C-E by HCS.com or click on the link below. Enter code Tina at checkout to get our special pricing. It's literally a dollar a day. Let's ditch the poison. The Counterculture Ministries team put our heads together and created the Pop Culture Purge Tour. This event can be half a day, full day, or 2 day event loaded with eye-opening, life-changing speakers who have survived or experienced some of the most wild situations in life and are on fire to share their stories. We have people on our speaking team talking about the satanic symbolism, sexual abuse, and sex trafficking, the public school pipeline to Planned Parenthood. That one's a showstopper. A gifted singer-songwriter who has a workshop entitled From Me, Me, Me to Christ in Me, a former news anchor reporter talking about mainstream media madness, another woman who's a mother of nine and business owner talking about the education indoctrination, an ex-alcoholic and people pleaser, my dear husband, who's talking about identity crisis, a former homosexual now pastor, a pro-life activist giving her abortion reversal success story, and so much more. If you want more info on this life-saving tour, text the word tour to the number 55444. Once again, tour to the number 55444 to get info on all the different speakers that are available and contact Christy on our team to book an event in your city, town, or backwoods. We've been all over the place, from schools to prisons to cruise ships. Let's do this. Adrian, you wrote a phenomenal book. Every parent and grandparent must get your hands on this book immediately. It's a children's book entitled My Body is Special and Private. Yes, it is. It's on Amazon. We can grab it there. Of course, 5-star.
So this is a board book meant to help parents introduce body safety to children as young as 2. There really aren't any resources out there for young kids, and it's really critical that we start these conversations early, break that uncomfortableness, and start, you know, educating kids about their bodies and boundaries.
That's phenomenal. You also have a children's book coming out practically right now. So by the time this airs, it's going to be out there. It's called Let's Talk About Secrets.
So this is a book for elementary kids meant to introduce the concepts of grooming and just build upon those lessons, teaching kids about boundaries and the importance of communication.
Everybody, go to counterculturemom.com. Let parents and educators, teachers, pastors, everybody know at counterculturemom.com. They can see all 4 episodes this week as we talk about pedophilia. And you know what? With Christ, we're no longer a victim. We can use that horrific past like you did, Adrian, to make a difference in our culture today. Keep up the excellent work. You rock. Thank you for jumping on and being raw and real today.
Thank
go get
so
them.
Much.
Thanks for joining us for the Counterculture Mom Show with your host, Tina Griffin. For over 2 decades, Tina has traveled the globe exposing how pop culture is glamorizing harmful behaviors without showing the consequences, and how these messages are wreaking havoc on today's youth. Through radio, TV, podcasts, and our app, Counterculture Ministries is reaching millions every week with a biblically based message for hope for today's teens and their parents. But we can't do that without your faithful prayer and financial investment. If you appreciate the ministry of Tina and Counterculture Ministries, would you prayerfully consider a generous gift right now? We have a donor matching dollar for dollar. You can give securely online by visiting counterculturemom.com or by texting the word donate to the number 55444. That's counterculturemom.com or text the word donate to the number 55444. Every dollar is doubled. If you love this show, you can stay up to date on the latest critical issues affecting your family by catching all of our weekly episodes with resource links, signing up for our e-newsletter, and downloading our Counterculture Mom app, where you get timely pop culture alerts. Visit counterculturemom.com for more details. And be sure to join us next week for another edition of the Counterculture Mom Show with Tina Griffin, where we are rewriting Hollywood's script for our kids.